Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on Ask Sharifa Videocast and Podcast. I have a very special show for you today. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and our guest you may recognize because she was on the Roundtable Talk Show, but in speaking to her and having a conversation with her, we just have to learn more. So let me introduce you to Jeanette Paxia. Good afternoon, Jeanette. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm good. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful. Thank you for joining me. And one of the things that we mentioned on the Roundtable Talk Show is your sign in the background. And I thought that that spoke a lot about you. So I just wanted to share that again today.
Should I move over again so they can see it?
Yes. Be the change you want to see in the world. And I think that you are, Jeanette, because you have so much going on. You've been helping people, helping women, and you have an announcement that you are making today. Tell us what's going on in your life.
I do. So a book that I am a co-author in with 29 other very inspirational authors launched today, Women Who Rise. And it's been an extremely exciting and emotional journey. I didn't realize how emotional it was going to be. So yes, it launched today and it's been just a great, great ride with everybody. I've loved every minute of it.
Women Who Rise. I know that has to be emotional just by the title. But can you give a little bit of background and what motivated you to write this book?
Sure. I, as a transformational speaker and coach, my whole goal has always been to help people. Even when I was as young, I've always just gravitated to helping people and animals, just everyone be happier. And so when I found out that I could be part of this book, I just realized I had to tell my story of how I became a transformational speaker, what inspired me to do so. And it's a journey that I don't give too much away about the story, but you know, in your life, sometimes you're so focused on what's going on around you and you're just wrapped up in all of that. And you think it's the worst situation that can ever happen to you. And along the way, you're getting signs that actually something worse is going to happen. And you ignore all these signs because you're so wrapped up in what's going on. And then all of a sudden, boom, something happens that's way worse than the other situation. And that's what happened to me. And it's about my journey so I can help people realize how important it is to live in the moment and to enjoy life to the fullest, because all you really have is this moment right now.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that is one of the lessons that many people have learned during this global pandemic. Yes. And nothing else, is that all you have is right now. All you have is this moment. And what are the important things? Are the important things going to that job? Are the important things that car, that jewelry or iPhone that you wanted to buy? Or is it being at home with your family and your loved ones? So I love the fact that you're actually stepping out and making an effort to help other people to remember that.
It's so important. And as you mentioned, right now, so many people have a whole different life than we had a few months ago. You may be working from home, your kids are home. You may not be able to get out to see that family, but there are other ways we can connect. And it's important to take that time to just show your family and your friends how much you love them, whether it's via Zoom or, I mean, Zoom has gotten a big hit right now, but via Zoom or telephone, we can even write letters. We sat down and wrote letters to family that, you know, how often have we done that where you sit and write a letter? So there are ways to connect. And it's just, I mean, the book was planned before this whole thing happened, but I think it just, nothing happens by chance. And it came out at a perfect, perfect time to show. And I think I mentioned on the last show that we did, this is a time when the whole world is experiencing the same thing. Maybe not the exact same moment, but the same thing. When has it been to where the whole world gets together and we have all the social media and we have all these ways to connect, and it's all for one cause? It's to cure and move through this issue and the virus. The world is healing right now together, and there's no better time for us all to rise together. Mm-hmm. This book, and it's also right before Mother's Day. So it's come out at a great time. And I'm just so excited. It's been such an emotional day. I probably have a little bit of makeup running and from crying. And every time I read my story, I cry. Every single time.
You look beautiful. I don't see any mascara anywhere. Makeup lines. You look beautiful, but you can tell that it's emotional for you. And I love emotional mm-hmm. people. I'm not one, you know, because I was told all my life, you're too emotional. And I feel like more people should feel it and celebrate what you're doing. I believe it's a huge accomplishment for anyone to publish a book. Now we're in a global pandemic and you're saying, okay, instead of putting this book off, it's the prime time. Let me step out there on faith. Let me tell my story because my story can help other people. Out of everything, because I know we can't give away too much of the book and too much of the story, but what are some of the things that you want people to take away from this book?
I want them to understand that there are 30 authors in the book, so I'm a co-author. So if my story doesn't touch you for some reason right now in your life, there's going to be a story in there that's going to touch you. Mm-hmm. These women I've gotten to know, some of them I knew before the book, but I've gotten to know them and they all have something to share. And it's just all inspirational stories and they all opened up. It's not that easy to open up and share with people issues that you've gone through. Not always that easy. And I have just such respect for all of them and love. I've grown to love them. And it's just, if my story doesn't touch you or you don't learn from it, I guarantee that one of these stories is going to touch you. And the publisher, Kate Butler, Kate from Kate Butler Books, she's also very inspiring and she's taught me so much. I appreciate her. I do have some, like I said, some people I knew before the book that are in the book. My friend Kathleen, hers is the first story in the book, and also not going to give too much away about that, but went through a very tragic event. She turned it into a time of healing for her. But she also helps heal other people. And there's just several stories in the book like that. So excited that we get to share this right now. And it's also, it just coincides with everything that I do in speaking and coaching. I have so many programs that all surround my reason, my why. So it's just exciting that I get to share those too.
So what is your reason? What is your why?
My why is helping people to live mindfully. It's helping them to realize that whole thing I just talked about is living in the moment is so important. I will be 50 in January and I feel like it's happened in a blink of an eye. One of my programs is called Living Mindfully and it's a mindful pregnancy, mindful birth. Because I have five kids in a blended family, but two of them that I actually birthed. And, you know, you look back at those times and it's like a flash and you don't remember. You may have been concentrating on the future and, you know, getting the baby's crib and getting all of that. And you just realize that, wow, this has gone by. So I hope to help people really fully try to live in the moment and not just with a virus, with a pregnancy, whatever's going on in your life right now, not just always think about, oh, tomorrow when I have that, or, you know, when I get the bigger house, or when I get the car, or when I have the baby. How about just right now sitting in this moment and appreciating what you have right now?
No, we can't give away too much of the book. And I know you said there were 30 stories, but in Women Who Rise, did you see any commonalities, any characteristics that everyone basically shared that enabled them to be able to rise?
Just the ability to move through and move forward. The ability to understand that things sometimes happen for you, not to you. The tragic event that happened to me, it's hard to say that happened for me. It's what I did with that. It's what you did with that tragedy and how you move forward. There's two ways you can deal with things. So my story is called Defining Moments. Mm-hmm. And there's two ways you can deal with things. You can sit in that and just focus on that trouble that you're going through and why me, or you can take it, honor that and then find a way to move forward and maybe help other people. And so all of the women in this book, including Kate Butler, the publisher, have taken their story and what happened to them and used it to help others.
Mm-hmm. When you say help others, you know, because I see so much, you know, everyone wants to help now. That's what's mm-hmm. going on in the world. There's so many people who want to help, whether it's financially, whether it's going over to our neighbors, calling. I think we spoke about that yesterday on the Roundtable Talk Show. It's just taking the time to pick up the phone and say, how are you doing right now? Mm-hmm. And not the just generic, oh, hey, how you doing? And, you know, typically when we say that, we may not even expect or want a response. We're just saying it is because to be polite. It's saying it because it's what we should say. But I've seen so many people who are helping, genuinely helping other people, but they're also looking for other ways to help, other ways to be of service. So when I hear you say, I just want to help, it brings the question to my mind, what are some ways that people can help during this time?
What are some ways people can help? Listen, one, the biggest part of communication is listening, and it's probably the skill that we are not the best at, it is actually listening to somebody. Most of the time we're sitting there thinking about what we're going to say and not focusing on them. As a coach, sometimes through a whole session, I'll hardly say anything, but it's that someone really listened to them. So not only waiting for someone to finish talking so you can talk, but listen to what they're saying, repeat back, make sure they understood. How many times are we sitting with our kids and we're multitasking? I'm huge at multitasking, I have to say. I'm on my phone, I'm on my computer, I am cooking dinner, and then my child comes up to me or one of the children, and they don't think I'm listening because I'm doing so many things. How about looking them in the eye and making them realize that, yes, you are listening, that they're important, even if it's for 5 minutes a day, in that whole day of everything that you're doing, taking that time and really showing people that you care. People know if you're genuine or not. I mean, like I said, I think I was born wanting to help people. I mean, I was that child that would do everything I could for every person that I saw that needed it. For every animal that I saw, I brought so many stray animals home, my poor parents, lizards, dogs, cats, but, you know, just showing them that you really do care and that we're all in this together. I mean, we all really are in this together.
No, you've been a coach, and I know one of the things that we spoke about when you were on the show is how this has affected your business and how this has affected you as a coach. But one of the things that I'm curious about now is, being a coach, what are some of the situations that you see people are coming to you for that they really need help for during this time?
Well, it's funny. I'm gonna go two ways with that. The first thing I'm gonna say is, working with pregnant women, it's been a totally different experience for them. And, you know, again, I'm not going to give away confidences, but I had a coaching session and, you know, they're not able to get out and see their family, like, you know, and you're pregnant, you want to celebrate that. Gender reveal parties. She had a gender reveal party via Zoom and she was really worried about it and thinking, you know, they're not going to be here, I'm not going to be able to enjoy that. But it turned out really, really well. So it's a different way to be pregnant right now. Plus, you're kind of confused as to how you should feel. You know, I'm happy that I'm having this baby, but look what's going on in the world right now. You know, I would say to those people, I mean, it's not all about pregnancy, but I would say to anyone, it's okay to enjoy what you're going through right now. It's okay to be sad about what's happening, but it's also okay to enjoy it, especially if you're pregnant. You're pregnant. What a great, beautiful thing that's happening. You're growing another human. And it's okay to have that gender reveal party via Zoom. My 19-year-old, I was living in Cleveland, Ohio, and my whole family was in California when I had him. And I wasn't able to have a baby shower. In fact, none of my family ever saw me pregnant. Mm-hmm. So we did it via the phone. We had a baby shower where someone had a time that they would call in and I'd open the gift. We didn't have Zoom. We didn't have FaceTime. You know, we didn't have any of that. But I was still able to enjoy the pregnancy and enjoy my family. The second way I'm going to answer that is my speaking and coaching business is completely changed. I had events booked for, every 2 weeks I was traveling somewhere, and either they went online or they completely got canceled. So financially, I've also been hit with finances, which most people, right, are dealing with. And one of the things my mom always told me is you always have multiple streams of income. And you always, especially as a woman, and it's not all about women and women who rise, but especially as a woman, you want to be able to be financially independent. So recently, I'm excited to say that I actually joined in a business with my mentor, which I won't name names on that either, but very, very popular, well-known person, authored and sold over 500 million books. And the business has boomed in the last couple of weeks. I'm so excited about it and so thrilled. And it merges everything that I do. It's supporting people and health, which, speaker and coach, but I've also been in medical for 25 years. So it merges everything. I'm excited about that too.
That sounds exciting. I want to learn more, but I'm listening to you, Jeanette, and I'm listening to everything that you're saying. And, we haven't gone into your story, but what is it in you that always continues to rise? I mean, because some people, it seems that it's easier for them than others. They can look at you and go, oh, well, she's beautiful. Oh, well, she has it going for her. Oh, she's intelligent. She has these, famous friends. So it's easy for her to go through that and then come out of it. But someone else, they don't know. They don't know how to do it. What would you say to that person?
I would say that it takes moving one step forward at a time. Sometimes I say 1 second at a time. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of incredible struggles in my life, and I it would take us hours to go over all of them. And what I've always been able to do is identify that, yes, it's okay that I'm sad, I'm frustrated, I'm going through what I'm going through. But I'm going to get up this morning, I'm going to be grateful, and I'm going to move forward, even if it's grateful just to wake up. I mean, we all have our stories. We all have our stories. And this is one in this book is one of my stories. But I really have gone through a lot of stuff, and I keep moving forward. Time is going to go by whether you move forward or not. So do you want to go forward enjoying it, or do you want to go forward complaining about where you're at? Because if you complain, you're in a low energy level and you're not going to get anywhere. The time you spent complaining, you could have been doing something about it. And you can do it. I'm telling you, you can do it. Don't look in the rearview mirror. I think, Joel Osteen says that. Don't look in the rearview mirror, look back. Look forward, because you can't go backwards. All you have is what's forward in front of you. So identify your story. That's okay. It happened to you for you. And then now decide what you have to do to move forward. 1 second at a time.
Is there in this book a specific focus? Is it women who rise in business, women who rise in healthcare, women who are speakers, coaches, authors, or is it, just women of all types? Maybe they're moms.
Women of all types. We all have completely different stories in the book. Another one of my friends, that's in the book, she had breast cancer, and she's in remission from that. And she decided to join the Komen Walk, and her goal was to raise $1 million. She has a team. And I don't want to say it wrong, but I think it's her 15th year. And she's set to reach that $1 million goal this year. And I actually decided to join her on that walk. I can't believe I'm going to do that, 60 miles. But if people can have cancer and get through it, I can somehow walk 60 miles. So it's completely different stories, different, just all different women in the book. And they're not all speakers and coaches. There are a few, but they're not all speakers and coaches, all different walks of life.
Because sometimes we watch people and we look at them and we deem them successful. And because they're successful, because they're celebrities, because they're famous, because they're rich, then obviously they can do it. But someone else who, you know, maybe they're living in the hood, maybe, you know, they had this horrible life experience, they tend to feel that that's that person or that's them and not me. So I always look for ways to encourage people and to inspire people. And Women Who Rise, I see that as an excellent vehicle to inspire people.
It is, and it does not matter where you live or where you come from. Every single person can rise. I've lived in some very, very, very bad areas in Oakland, California. If you know anything about Oakland, there's some beautiful, great areas there, but there's some bad areas. And Los Angeles, I lived right on Hollywood Boulevard. And it's not where you live, it's not where you come from, it's not where your genes, it's not about your genes, it's about where you are right now and what you need to do to move forward. Listen to the positive stuff. Look for those things. Set goals. There's so many things that you can do. Find a coach, an accountability partner. Even if you can't afford to pay a coach, there's people that you can work with. What does Les Brown say? Only quality people. So surround yourself. I love Les Brown too. Surround yourself with only quality people. So make sure that those people that are around you are positive and help lift you up and not bring you down. There's so many things that you can do, no matter where you're at in your life, to move forward. Read books like Women Who Rise, because those are positive. And it does show you that no matter where you are in life, you can move forward. And I
And
believe
see
that.
that,
I mean, I believe that.
I can tell it just comes
Yeah.
through in every ounce of your energy. It comes through that you not only believe that you walk that you live that it comes through in every aspect. But let me just ask you this. One of the things that you mentioned is hiring a coach, and some people may feel that they can't afford to hire a coach. So we're not even going to discuss the affordability, but there is a certain idea that only successful people or rich people need a type of personal coach because, you know, in the past we looked at coaches as far as sports. You know, an athlete, he'd hire a coach, but that coach is in place to do a specific task. He needs to learn how to be a better fighter. He needs to learn how to be a better golfer. But in general, the layman, the everyday person, didn't necessarily look to hire a coach just to make them a better person. What are your thoughts on that?
Even coaches need coaches. So I think that everybody can use a coach no matter what they're going through in life because they help you become accountable. And if you cannot afford a coach, like we talked about, then start listening to those positive. YouTube has so many positive things on it. There's so many positive people out there right now, especially people who are wanting to help because of what's going on right now. So there are people out there, but it's not just for rich people or stars or athletes. Coaches can help you get through many different situations, maybe help you set your goals and achieve them, maybe help you get through a pregnancy, shed pounds. You know, I also have a health coaching background within my medical. I've done a lot of things, but it all came together into one. So there's just different reasons for having a coach. Maybe you need a coach because you're writing a book and you need accountability with that. Coaches keep you accountable, they keep you moving forward, and they listen. Having that person that's impartial, it's not your husband, it's not your partner, it's not your kids or your friends. It's somebody that is completely separate from all of that to listen to you and cheer you on as you grow. It's an incredible experience. And like I said, I have a coach myself. Most coaches do because we really understand. I think Tony Robbins was talking about having a coach. You know, all of the people, Jack Canfield talks about having coaches. And I think Les Brown too. So it's not just for famous people or, you know. And I think I talked a little bit about this on the other show that I was on with you. You know, in the beginning of all of this with COVID, started getting depressed and sad. If it wasn't for my coach to help remind me, because I thought, how as a coach and somebody who lifts people up, can I let myself get upset in this situation? How is that possible? And I started getting really down on myself, but it's okay to be sad and upset. It's how long you stay in that. It's how long it affects your life. that really counts. And just because I have, because I am a speaker and coach, I have the tools and I have a coach to help me through it. But that's what you need to do. Surround yourself with people that can help you through it if you can't afford a coach. And right now, there is a lot of people offering free services. This is the time.
One of the things that you mentioned is that you felt a little sad, a little depressed. What aspect do you feel hit you the most emotionally to make you sad and depressed? Was it not being able to go out to these speaking engagements? Was it the loss of revenue? Did you take a look and say, you know what is going on with me? What am I feeling right now? And what is sending me to this sad and depressed state?
It was, it's not about the money. It was a little bit about the loss of revenue, but it's the, I love being on stage and I love helping people. So it was the fact that I wasn't able to go do that. I wasn't able to be on stage. And then it was just, my husband was listening to the news. I don't usually listen to the news. And I started hearing all of these stories. And then, you know, having that medical background, a lot of my friends and family work in the medical field. And then I started worrying about them. They're on the front lines. And it just all kind of came together and hit me. My son was at his dad's and I couldn't get him home. So it's just like all this stuff that hit me at once. And I, for a couple of days, I was pretty down, but I moved through with the help of and support of my tools and my friends. And you have to realize that gratitude is one of the most important things that you can have. If you are starting to feel down, smile, because if you smile, it automatically changes everything for yourself. And just start focusing on what you're grateful for, because you physically cannot be grateful and sad or angry at the same time. It is impossible. Stop, think, you know what? I'm grateful to my lungs for being able to breathe for me. I'm grateful to my heart and my body. I'm grateful for the sun. I'm grateful for the roof over my head, if you have that. The clothes, food, you know, the fact that there's so many opportunities that I can find. There are other businesses. Say the one business that I was working at closed down. There are other opportunities. There's tons of them. So just stop and be grateful. And that is really what got me through it. Between my coaches, coaching friends, and gratitude, I think I was speaking gratitude all day. I just kept looking around and finding what I was grateful for and making myself smile. And it turned around. It did.
I can just tell just from when I met you initially in your smile and your energy that you're not one of those people that stays down for any length of time. However, you have some people who feel like, let them just stay down. Let me be down for a few days and I'll shake it off. Then you have other people who, when they start to even begin to feel down, they're like, nope, can't feel down, can't feel sad, can't feel what I'm feeling. I have to switch to another mode. Sometimes I don't know, you know, I'm not a professional coach or therapist or anything of that nature, but for yourself personally, because that's all we can speak of, is it, do you find that you allow yourself a few days to kind of go with it or feel it? You know, maybe you need to lay in the bed for a few days or lay on the couch, or maybe you need that Snickers bar for a few days and then you'll be okay. Or are you one of those persons that say, okay, I'm craving that Snickers bar. I know I'm feeling this way. Nope, I'm not going to do it. I got to switch immediately to gratitude.
No, I think it's important to honor the feelings. You don't want to push them down. Pushing them down just means they're going to come back with a vengeance. So it's important to honor the feelings, talk about it, do whatever you need to do to move forward, because everybody's different. Everybody is different in how they deal with things. I may not eat a Snickers bar, I might eat a Milky Way, but you know, we're all different. It's okay to be sad. It's okay. It's okay to be angry for a few minutes. It's okay. Honor those feelings and then find a way to move through them. I don't ever suggest pushing them down, because they will come back worse. You know, it's going to be worse for you. And, you know, what are those comfort things? For me, it's I meditate and I do yoga every morning. And believe you me, if I do not get my tea, my meditation and my yoga, you should probably stay away from me for a while. That's for me, my comfort, or a bath at night, a bubble bath. It may be, you know, sitting for a few minutes reading a book or watching your favorite show and laughing Laughing is so important. In fact, laughter yoga, if you've never heard of it, is a lot of fun. So it's just find what works for you. It's just like the same food doesn't work for everybody. I cannot eat carbs and bread, and I'm allergic to dairy, and I don't eat gluten either. My husband can eat all the bread he wants and he's fine. We're different. What comforts me does not maybe comfort him. So you have to find that. Find that and know.
That's very interesting. And I like the way you explain it. But let me just ask you this question. Mm-hmm. As far as what you were saying about your feelings and what you were going through, do you ever feel like during this, especially this global pandemic, you talked about laughing, do you ever feel a certain sense of guilt or a certain sense of, you know, because I felt like that one day when I spent the day watching Netflix and I was happy and I was laughing and the show was great. And then all of a sudden I'm like, Sharifa, you know, there's a global pandemic. You're laughing. You're watching television or watching Netflix, like nothing is going on in the world. But then I said to myself when I was watching TV all day, I said, Sharifa, it's Saturday. You know, so I had to cut myself some slack. I had to give myself a break for just wanting to relax. But often when there's a state of emergency or everything going on in the world, we feel guilty for laughing or feel guilty for being happy because maybe there are other people in the world who aren't as happy or can't take that time to watch Netflix. What are your thoughts on that?
There's always going to be things going on in the world. There's always flus. There's always sickness. There's always people dying. There's people with diseases. Always. You cannot focus completely on that. You have to focus on the good too. And it is okay to sit and relax. And if you want to watch Netflix all day, hopefully it's a good show. there's a couple I love. It's okay. You know, I had some guilt, like I said, around my friends and family out in the front lines. And here I am, I'm like, I'm hiding in the house. I'm not hiding. I'm taking care of myself. I'm doing the job that I can do. They're doing the job that they do. It's okay. Focus on what you do that's good. One of the things as speakers and coaches and people who love to help people is we want to help everybody, right? And you can't help everybody. So I have all of these different organizations that I volunteer for, but I can't volunteer for all of the ones that I want to. I find what I can do to help in the organizations that I work for, and then that's what I do. I cannot help everybody. It's not physically possible. I would love to, but I can't help every organization. I can't support every nonprofit that is out there, but I can do what I do. So focus on the good things you do. It's okay to relax. I had a couple of friends tell me, you know, they're kind of tired of hearing how everybody has all this time right now and you're supposed to write your book. Speaking of books, you're supposed to write your book or you're supposed to learn all these programs. And they said, you know what, right now, for me, I'm just going to take the time for self-care. I'm going to watch Netflix. I'm going to read the books that I wanted to read. I'm going to do some more meditation. I'm not going to do anything to grow necessarily, you know, and write my book right now or learn how to speak that language. I'm going to do what works for me. And that's what you have to do in everything, in food, in life, is you have to find the career, what works for you. You have to know yourself enough to know what works for you. And then stay in that because you're going to be your happiest when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and what makes you the happiest. And everybody around you is going to be happier. So it's okay to watch Netflix. That's a long way of saying it's okay. You're good. You're good. Enjoy life. It's okay to enjoy life. Even though there is sadness, there's always going to be sadness.
Yes, I love it. I was talking about that on another show, the whole it's okay. You know, it's okay. Whatever it is that we were feeling, I think that was the show where we focused on addictions and mental health and just being able to come out of it and say, it's okay. It's okay that mm-hmm. I'm feeling angry. It's okay that I'm feeling sad. It's okay that I may need something to comfort me, but to just be okay with whatever it is that we're feeling. Now, one of the other things that you mentioned earlier in the show is setting personal goals. You also just mentioned the whole aspect of sometimes people are pushing themselves so hard during this time frame because mm-hmm. they have the time. There's a certain sense of, like you said, you should be writing that book. You should be more creative. You should be starting your new podcast. You should learn how to be a nurse. whatever it is,
the as shoulds. opposed to,
yes, the shoulds are really
The shoulds.
getting to us right now. But to just be okay with whatever it is that they're going through. But there are people who want to learn how to set goals. What are some, you know, what are some things that you use, some tools? Is it a vision board? What do you do to help people set some goals?
So I do have a vision board. I actually do vision board classes too. And I have an app called Think Up where I actually record, you can record affirmations and goals. I listen to those, my meditation. And then probably the biggest thing is setting SMART goals. So there's different goals. There's goals, there's affirmations, and SMART goals are specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, timely. Some people say time bound, you know, same difference. Mm-hmm. And setting those goals so that you have that time period, the way your brain works is that you have to give it that goal in order for it to help you find a way to get there. So once you set the goal, it helps you find a way, and that time bound is really important, or timely is really important. There's also affirmations, and those are more feeling. So you can get your goal, set a time and a date. So say I want to weigh a certain amount by a certain day and certain time. That's my goal. But then I'm going to do an affirmation of feeling it, actually feeling what it would feel like to walk out in a bikini, which has probably been my goal for 40 years. but, you know, how does that feel to go out to the beach in that bikini and just really feel it? So that's an affirmation. So there's two different things. And then a vision board, you can take those affirmations and those goals and put them up. The first vision board I did, I put stuff up that I don't know that I really believed it. And within 6 months, 80% of it came true. Another thing I did was in my vision board class, sometimes I just rip out things because I'm in the class with everybody. And I ripped out this house. I liked the porch on it and it had a yellow door. And I'm like, I don't even really like yellow, but okay, I like the porch. I put it, probably TMI, but I put it in front of my toilet with all my stuff because I have vision boards everywhere. And it was right at eye level, so I would look at it every day. Well, we bought a house in December, and it wasn't until I moved in that I realized it had a yellow door.
Oh, wow.
And the porch looked just like the porch in the picture. And I almost couldn't believe it because I didn't do an affirmation around it. I just pulled the picture out and threw it up on the wall. And here I am, I'm living in this house with this yellow door. And I was, as we were moving, I was like, oh my goodness, this picture, look, it's the same. So it really does, they all do work together, and they really do work. If you work them, they work.
I've only attended one vision board class, and mm-hmm. I was actually asked and invited to be a speaker by the person who was putting on the vision board class. And I was like, I don't know about this, because when I saw the people creating their vision boards, to me, a lot of the people didn't add anything that I considered to be realistic. I had one person on her vision board, all she put was like mermaids. And I'm going, okay, you know, but it was beautiful. It was nice. It was creative. Okay. We had all these magazines, you know, but I didn't understand, what are you creating? What is the goal? What is the vision? Like, because you're never going to be a mermaid. I hate to be a dream killer, but you're never going to be, you know, a mermaid. So I think sometimes people use it as an opportunity to dream, whereas other people use it as an opportunity to set clear goals on what they want. I'm more of the latter, where I like clear goals. I'm not just going to want to be a mermaid. I'll like, okay, I want a certain house in this area. My goal is a certain type of car. My, you know, it's really a true vision of what I want out of life. But I know people are different.
Well, in the hundreds of people I've had come through my vision board classes, I've been amazed that not one of the boards look alike. I even had husbands and wives come in, and their boards were so very different. I'm thinking, well, how are you guys going to do that? One of you is going to Hawaii and the other one's going somewhere else, you know. But it's amazing to me. It is okay to dream big. It is okay. It is okay to stretch a little bit. Now, maybe not stretch so far that it's completely unattainable, but it's okay to have that big goal, because you'll be amazed at what you can get if you really do set those goals. Now, you can't set the goals and the affirmations and then sit on the couch eating bonbons. You have to actually take action. That's part of, you know, the success principles that we teach. As I am certified success principles trainer, that's what I from Jack Canfield, that's what I That's how I got certified, besides my health coaching. But you have to do things towards that, but it is okay to reach a little bit. Some of the things on my vision board, I thought were never going to happen. There's no way. And they did things. I believe I was like, there's no way that's going to happen. And it did happen. And as far as being a mermaid, I actually have a cousin who dresses as a mermaid and goes to events, parties and stuff. So it is possible. Now she is dressing as one, but it is a possible thing. She gets paid to go and be at kids' birthday parties as a mermaid. So maybe that's what the person wanted. I don't know that she wanted to actually become a mermaid.
So basically, I'm not supposed to judge. If you want to be a mermaid, there's somewhere on the earth where you can be a mermaid.
Exactly. It's possible. It's very, yes. I dress as Wonder Woman when I do my anti-bullying program. I'm not Wonder Woman, but I can pretend, right?
Okay. But and see, I love that, it. That asked the question. Did you put Wonder Woman on a vision board and say one day, this is what I want to do?
No, I was already doing it when I made my vision board. A couple of the things I had on there was, one was moving back to California where I live now, where I'm from. And there was just, I would have to go in the whole story, which we don't have time for, but there was just no possible way that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And months I was here, within months, and it was all paid for. Mm-hmm. Another one kind of silly, but I want a dog named Scooby-Doo, a Great Dane. We weren't able to get that, but my husband was dead set against getting a dog. And I've had dogs my whole life. Dead set against it. One day we're sitting at dinner with the kids and he's like, I've decided we're going to get a dog. Like, you said it in front of the kids, so that has got to happen. And we have a dog now. That may seem silly, but if you met him and how dead set against he was getting a dog, you wouldn't believe it. And it was within months. And there was just things that happened. I had put up a place I wanted to speak of what it would look like. And, you know, I had the chairs, the stage. I spoke at a place that looked exactly like it. My dream house was on there. I got my dream house. So, I mean, it's pretty amazing what happens, but it's setting those goals, doing the affirmations, doing the vision board, putting them together and taking action. And it really does work. Like I said,
I want to go back to what you said about the place you wanted to speak. Like, you saw the chairs, you saw the venue, you saw everything. Did you add that to a vision board, or were you just, you actually added it to the board?
It was on my vision board, and I also, in my meditation, will focus on what I want in life. Mm-hmm. Being a number one best-selling author, that was part of it. And, you know, hopefully we'll make it to that today in The Woman Who Rise. So then, yeah, it was on the board. And I mean, just like the yellow door, I have vision boards everywhere. It's there. You know, there's a couple of things I still need to reach that I haven't. You know, my retirement count is not quite as big as I'd like it to be. And sometimes there's things that you, and it's okay that they change. I want to say that. Sometimes there's things that you put on there that you actually decide, you know, you don't want that. It's okay to change them. Sometimes as you go through life, your goals change. That's okay. So it's fun too. It's fun to look at them. It's fun to focus on them. You know, affirmations, you should repeat at least 3 times a day. They should be easy to remember. That ThinkUp app really does help. And there's ways you can look up on how to correctly do goals. We talk about your brain being like a GPS, which one of my speaking friends calls it goal production system. You have to let your brain know what you want to do. It doesn't know. And when it does, it sets this whole thing in motion to help you get there. So say my goal was to make $1 million next year and I needed a new business venture. All of a sudden, I might decide to stop at Starbucks for some reason, when we can stop at Starbucks. Stop at Starbucks for some reason. And then I hear this person talking in front of me about a business opportunity. If I hadn't listened and stopped there, maybe I wouldn't have met that person. So your brain does work to help you move towards those goals and affirmations. It's pretty amazing. It really is. The whole way everything works.
I love it. See, now we're going off in a completely different direction. I'm like, this is getting interesting. This is getting good. Now, well, we're running out of time. So two things. Mm-hmm. Number one, where can people pick up your book?
So it's on Amazon. If you just look up Women Who Rise, if you contact me, I can send you the link. But if Women Who Rise, and I don't think you need to put Kate Butler in there, but it should pop up for you, Women Who Rise. And then what else did you ask? I'm sorry.
No, that was it. I was getting to the second question because we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. Mm-hmm. And what I like to do at the end of every show is just allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to everyone who is listening live. We have some comments in the chat, people talking. Jasmine says, don't let anyone tell you that you can't be a mermaid. So it's a great conversation. But speak directly to the audience and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance.
I would love for you to take away that there are inspiring stories out there right now. And not to say it too many times, but the world needs to rise together right now. And we can do it no matter what you're going through right now. Maybe you did lose a job. Maybe, you know, you're frustrated because you're home with the kids. We can move through this. This too shall pass. And it'll be a learning lesson for all of us. I am sorry for all of the people out there who have had loved ones that have passed and everything. I'm not minimizing that at all. I am sorry, and my thoughts and prayers are with you. But I would like us together to learn, to move forward, to rise, and to never forget to be grateful. Because as this time passes, I don't want you to forget about what you're also grateful for, like going to restaurants, going to movies, being able to go to the grocery store without a mask. All of these things that we're missing right now, realize that those will come back again, but stay in that gratitude that you have right now for everything that's around you. And Women Who Rise, it's out today.
Yes, I'm excited as well. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. The book wasn't even out when you were on the show last. So I just invite everyone to pick up their copy of Women Who Rise. It is available on Amazon. Check it out. And once you love it, please leave a review, because the reviews are what everyone else uses to know just how amazing it is. I want to thank you, Jeanette, for being a guest on today's episode of Ask Sharifa Videocast and Podcast. I want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who watches it in the archives. And if you are interested in being a guest, visit the website at AskSharifa.com. I will be back tomorrow morning, Friday, TGIF, at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for the Roundtable Talk Show. Until then, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Thank you.